broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use. No Doubt starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for February 21st. In the year of our Lord, 2022, this is hour one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America. That is our guide. And absolutely, we're convinced the checks and balances brilliantly put in place by the founding fathers, one of the great peaceful restorative solutions we still have at our fingertips. And as you know, we reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. Welcome to the broadcast. Hope you're all doing absolutely fantastic. Pray you had a God, family, country-filled weekend as I did. And a quick recap of Saturday's broadcast. We had our guest with us 2 hours, Mr. Eldon Stahl. He is the field coordinator for the John Birch Society in my region, the Rocky Mountains, if you will. JBS.org for the John Birch Society, thenewamerican.com for their incredible award-winning magazine. They've been telling the tale of liberty spot on for decades. We also talked about Spotify's deal with Joe Rogan. We all thought it was $100 million. It turns out it was well over $200 million, ladies and gentlemen. I know that's not even comprehensible, but you know what? The bottom line is artists are complaining. You know, Spotify getting rich, this could be with them paying out that kind of money to a talk show host. Wow. But you know what? They say Joe Rogan is who brought Spotify onto the map and made them a huge media company. Kanye West is releasing his new album. It's called Donda 2, and they say it'll boycott streaming platforms required to buy his $200 STEM player. West argues that major streaming platforms treat artists wrong, unfairly. Artists get just 12% of the money made from their offerings. Yeah, it's time to free music from this abusive system. It's time to take control and build our own, says Kanye West. Well, all I can tell you is I agree with Kanye, or Yee, or whatever the heck the dude's name is now. He's right about that. You know what? Big conglomerates are getting rich at the expense of us all. Now, one of the things that Kanye says that I think is really important is we need to take control back and build our own. He's right as rain on that, and that's why, literally, ladies and gentlemen, since 1996, that's when we bought our first radio station. We were in the media before that, but we didn't build our own, so to speak. But in 96, we literally bought and ran an AM radio station for a decade, learned the ropes of the business by hard knocks. Then we went into nationally syndicated radio exclusively. Now, we syndicated our show right from the start, almost. But then we decided, let's get rid of the radio station. And let's go nationally syndicated globally, if you will, on the internet and more. And we've done that and been incredibly successful. The current radio network, Liberty News Radio, one of the radio networks that carry this broadcast right now, has been in existence. We cranked it up in 2009 because John Stadtmuller kicked us off for public broadcasting because we wanted to use our own board ops or our own producers because the ones that he had for us weren't doing a good enough job. And when we said we were going to have our own producers produce the show, he went crazy and literally jettisoned us on the spot. And I said, don't worry, John, we got 30 days to negotiate this. He said, no, you're off tomorrow. I said, all right, damn it, now you've pissed me off. And I hate to use that language on the radio, but you need to understand, I literally was growing my show, putting my heart and soul into it for a long time. And then I had a guy saying, I'm going to take you off the radio immediately. Well, I got very angry and stayed up all night long and built myself a radio network in less than 24 hours, and we were on the air the next day. And John Stadtmuller freaked out at the time and said, oh my gosh, I didn't think you'd be ready so fast. Can I take your show? Because I don't have another show to replace it. I'm not ready that fast. I said, sorry, John. That's what happens when you do that to people like me. That isn't happening to me ever again. And so, ladies and gentlemen, there's a lot of radio networks and a lot of radio stations and everything else that take this broadcast now, and I'm grateful for every one of them. But I will not put myself in a position again where people can take me off the air like that. You can drop your carrying of my show, maybe, but you will not be able to drop the show. The only way they can do that is if they just shut me down from the whole internet. And that's why I don't take a lot of these sponsors or do a lot of the different things anyway that others have done. I don't do that because I don't want to be caught in a bind ever again. But we've been on the air ever since with that network, along with many others, since 2009. So there you have that. All right, the presidential election. Betting odds have Donald Trump as the clear favorite in 2024. Would you vote for Donald Trump in 24? I ask you that question. You got to think about it. My answers are clear, resounding no. Donald did a lot of good, ladies and gentlemen, but he did a lot of bad, too. We're worse off as a country since the Donald days. I'll tell you that right now. But since 2016, when he rolled down on the escalator, we're a worse country even after he was in office for 4 years. He accomplished a lot of things, but most of them were by executive order. I would call it by executive fiat, which means the next fiat just gets in place and erases it all, right? The number of migrants encountered at the southern border in January was nearly double that in 2020 or 2021 when Joe Biden took office. So bad news. Biden's doubled the illegals at the border. But you know what? Neither of them were doing a good enough job. They didn't build the wall like we were promised. There was a lot of talking about the building the wall. There was a little bit of patching of the wall, but nobody really built the wall. Does the United States need to strengthen its relationship with Israel? I say the answer is a clear, resounding no. That was hour one of Liberty Roundtable Live with Eldon Stahl. Hour two, we talked about this incredible article from Pat Buchanan. Is democracy dying or is America disintegrating? Buchanan.org. We don't have a democracy, first of all, so, you know, whatever. But I'm just telling you, it's interesting how everybody's understanding that America's going south. We're losing our country due to the immorality of the people is the reason that I would give. We talked about a slippery slope to socialism written by Art Thompson. And it was a video as well. We played the audio from Art Thompson. He's with JBS.org doing a phenomenal job. We talked about mounted police knock protesters down. And over 100 got arrested in Ottawa, theepictimes.com with that piece. We also talked about the U.S. trucker convoy departing California to D.C. to protest Biden COVID mandates, ladies and gentlemen. We also talked about Bidenomics driving the cost of living out of reach for most Americans. We talked about Canada going toe-to-toe with truckers. Tony Perkins, great article on that. We talked about the Durham revelations. A cover for larger conspiracies. No one's going to prosecute Hillary over this or anything else, no matter what we think, no matter how major or minor. Understand she has what's called deep state immunity. That's right. So what exactly is pre-crime surveillance? We talked about that quite a bit as well with Eldon Stahl. We talked about the Ron Paul report and played that report. Will Joe lead us into another stupid, unjust war is the question. We also talked about Biden brings the world closer to nuclear war, writes The Hill, and the Ukraine mirage. Biden to take credit for stopping his own manufactured crisis, writes Jordan Schatkel. Great, great stuff. That is the recap that took place for Liberty Roundtable Live on Saturday. Available at libertyroundtable.com, lovingliberty.net. Spread the word, share the love, tell your neighbor. Because we're bringing forward news the networks refuse to use like nobody's business. All right, enough of all that. We got that all out of the way, got the broad recap out of the way, kind of an update on who we are on your radio and a whole lot more. And Lowell Nelson from Campaign for Liberty is ready to take to the airwaves. Welcome back to the broadcast, sir. Hope you had a fantastic weekend filled with God, family, and country.
Sure did, Sam. Good to be back with you. I was just over playing ball, morning ball, and got a little carried away, a little late getting to my phone this morning, but happy to be with you now, Sam.
Well, hopefully you feel invigorated, exercised, and ready to go, because boy, do we have a barn burner discussion today, kicking off with, again, Secure Vote Utah. Incredible update and kind of a pivot. Lol.
That's right. That's right, Sam. Last Tuesday was the last day to sign the initiative petition for Secure Vote Utah. scores of volunteers, hundreds, worked diligently to collect and process petition packets from around the state. But in the end, Sam, we collected and submitted only one-fifth of the signatures required of the 138,000 to get on the election, general election ballot this year, which really is amazing when you think about
it. And let me stop you there before you go on about that, though. They know full well that unless you gear up for literally years in advance, you'll never get it done. They've set the bar so high, it's unrealistic.
That's right, Sam. But that's not all bad. I'm not a super big fan of initiative, you know, legislating by initiative, but I do believe it's an appropriate tool when the legislature ceases to represent the people, which in this case is the case. You know, the people are crying out for secure elections. And what do we hear from the state legislature? Well, nothing except let's do more computerized tabulation. Let's do more.
Why don't we just fire them all? That's what the American people need to do, is fire them all. But this just proves that the American people aren't engaged enough in firing their representatives, holding them accountable, or the ballot initiative. There's not enough Americans involved is the real problem.
Well, and our numbers were growing geometrically week upon week. So had we had another 4 weeks, even just twice the amount of time, we would have collected the other four-fifths of the signatures by geometric progression. More and more people were hearing about it, wanting to sign up. Even on the way to the county clerk's office, I had people stopping me, wanting to sign the petition. Sam?
And you are listening to Liberty Roundtable Live with Lowell Nelson, returning in seconds on your favorite news the networks refuse to use, talk station.
For decades, leftist, liberal, socialists, and feminists have been screaming and crying, "My body, my choice," in order to justify the premeditated murder of innocent children in the womb. However, this is a fallacious argument, since science has proven and demonstrated that the baby has a separate set of DNA from the mother. If it's not your DNA, it's not your body. That is science, and you should trust the science. Remarkably, the same people who have been claiming "my body, my choice" for decades now want to force you to inject foreign substances into your body against your will. Obviously, they never cared about "my body, my choice." They just wanted to control you and have permission to kill babies. I am Ammon Bundy, and when you elect me governor of Idaho, I will sign an executive order on day one of my governorship prohibiting abortion in the state of Idaho. Because premeditated murder of the innocent should never be legal anywhere in the world, especially Idaho.
Paid for by Ammon Bundy for governor. VoteBundy.com.
The Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit legal foundation committed to protecting our unalienable right to publicly acknowledge God. The Foundation for Moral Law exists to restore the knowledge of God in law and government, and to acknowledge and defend the truth that man is endowed with rights not by our fellow man, but by God. The foundation maintains a twofold focus. First, litigation within state and federal courts. Second, education. Conducting seminars to teach the necessity and importance of acknowledging God in law and government. How can you help? Please make a tax-deductible contribution, allowing foundation attorneys to continue the fight. You may also purchase various foundation products as well at morallaw.org. Located in Montgomery, Alabama, the Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit, tax-exempt 501c3, founded by Judge Roy Moore. Please partner with us to achieve this important mission. morallaw.org.
All right, back with you live, Lowell Nelson, campaignforliberty.org on your radio. We're talking about securevoteutah.org. They're doing a pivot. They tried to get enough signatures, simply not enough time. The people interested in it were exponentially increasing. But you know what? Without major media support, it's really hard to get the word out. So they literally went, mouth to mouth, door to door, whatever you want to say, literally talking and working with everyone. It was exponentially increasing, but they flat out ran out of time per the window allotted, Lowell.
Thank you, Sam. And so we're pivoting now to support a bill in the Utah legislature. It's House Bill 371, entitled Voting Revisions, sponsored by Representative Phil Lyman. It removes ballot drop boxes. It removes voting by mail as the primary voting method, but replaces it with in-person voting while allowing for absentee balloting, requires a post-election audit, and prohibits drive-by voting or drive-through voting. These are all excellent changes, many of which were in our proposed initiative. And so we need to support this. This will get us on the right path, definitely the right direction, taking our elections back one person at a time. And so we are urging our thousands of supporters to persuade their legislators to embrace this bill, HB 371. And if, like you say, Sam, if the legislature refuses to act, we're going to work to replace them with legislators who will. And we may run another initiative in 23, but we would do it so that we would have much, much more time to collect the signatures. Sam?
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. You know, we need to work with our legislative bodies, and what we really need to do is spend our time making sure that enough people really realize. A lot of people are concerned about the vote, folks, but a lot of people don't understand what efforts are being made by good, honest patriots. Secure Vote Utah now pivoting to persuade legislature. SecureVoteUtah.org. Now, the legislative session in Utah is continuing. So, one, make sure your representative know about our efforts to say, hey, let's look into this. But Utah legislature, the good, the bad, the ugly, what do we have, 10 days left of terror?
That's right, Sam. And one of the worst bills to advance was House Bill 11. We talked about this last week. This is the cross-gender sports bill. Allows a male to compete in all female sports after a year of hormone therapy if a commission that they establish decides that that's okay. In other words, the legislature didn't make a decision. They passed a bill which creates a commission. And in other words, this commission gets to decide now whether a male can play in an all-female sport. And that's based on things like, you know, how long has he taken cross-hormone therapy, you know, what is his bone density, how muscular is he, does he fit in with the other girls and so forth. Very, very, you know, we've talked about this for a number of weeks, Sam. This really puts us on a path to Sodom and Gomorrah. Patently unfair to females, it would just turn our sports world upside down for females. The reasonable alternative to this approach, Sam, is simply let them create their own league if they want, just like the females did when we were kids, Sam. I remember the days when girls weren't even allowed to play basketball. And then there came a time when we did create a girls' basketball league. And at the time, you know, you had six people on the team on the court at a time. You had two forwards and you had two in the backcourt. Those four couldn't change courts, remember? They could only play in their half of the court. And then you had two additional girls. They could play the whole court, you know, up and down on both sides of the court, backcourt and forecourt. Now, I don't know if you remember that, Sam, but that is how girls' basketball began back when I was a kid. And back in the day, you know, girls weren't allowed to play sports. Well, they started their own league. And so today we got the very same situation. We have all boys and we have all girls. Well, if it transgenders, that they want to create their own league and play against each other, let them. You know, that's up to them. But
Yeah. There's this term called free association in a free country, sir.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And these girls want to freely associate.
Mm-hmm. With each other. They don't want boys on their court.
That's right.
And yet bill...
I bring that up because it's really critical to understand, ladies and gentlemen, what we have is forced segregation or forced integration on all fault lines, and they're doing it with male, female now. It is disaster. I don't know what on earth our legislative body is thinking, though, but I think they all ought to be fired, though. Everyone who voted for this should absolutely be fired.
Yeah, absolutely. I totally agree, Sam. And you know, what I would do, this bill is in the Senate now. Today, the legislature is not in session because today's a federal holiday, so it's the perfect day to write an email to your state legislators. It's probably true in most states across the country. I like to write my emails about a bill. I just keep one email per bill, and I write it a couple of days before the bill comes up for consideration. And then I send a text like about an hour before the bill is due to be considered. So that's what I'm going to do with this HB 11 today. The Senate's going to pick it up tomorrow, and my senators are going to hear about it. And then another bill, Sam, this is a good bill, HB 60, House Bill 60. This is a prohibition on vaccine passports. It's going to be considered tomorrow. And so, yeah, again today, I'm going to write my legislators about HB 60, and I'm going to urge them to pass. This is a good bill. This would prohibit vaccine passports. And it was circled, put on hold, basically, before discussion even began on Friday, right? So it came up for a vote on the floor of the House. They immediately circled it, meaning putting it on hold. Why? Well, probably because they knew that the bad guys knew that they couldn't stop it. It would probably get a favorable vote. So what they wanted, they bargained for more time to put forth the so-called amendment. But what they wanted to really is to gut the bill and so that vaccine passports could be mandated. And then this weekend, on Saturday, you might know this, Sam, already, Governor Cox announced an end to COVID testing sites and an end to COVID case counts, telling businesses they should no longer require masks or vaccinations. In other words, they relaxed the pressure. And this was in concert with decisions by three other organizations who lifted vaccine passports and testing requirements this week, namely the Vivint Arena, where the Jazz play, Brigham Young University, which was going to require everybody to have vaccine passports in order to attend events, and also the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. They relaxed their mask-wearing mandate. So very interesting development over the weekend. Well, all of these announcements come the very weekend before the Utah State House is once again scheduled to vote on HB 60 on Tuesday. That's tomorrow. Is all of this a coincidence? Well, yeah, I don't think so. Just more games being played this session by the governor and by House leadership. I don't want to fall for this deception. I instead, let's write our legislators today. Say, I am your constituent. Please vote yes on HB 60 with no additional amendments. Keep businesses open. Keep medical information private. That's all it has to be. You send that off, and then you make sure that you text them again tomorrow before they consider the bill. It'll be a good day in the legislature if that happens, Sam.
Amen to that. And ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you right now, when we talk about the good and the bad and the ugly in the legislative session, that's where it's so difficult, because how do you deal with it? On one hand, the vote was 52-16 on this males and female sports and everything else. But 52-16 was the House vote. I want to get rid of 52 House members now. But yet at the same time, I want to encourage them while they're still in office to vote for HB 60, the prohibition on vaccine passports. Now, I support the bill, Lowell, but I want to make it very clear in the broader sense. I don't know why on earth we need a bill for this in the first place.
Yeah,
what I would really suggest, ladies and gentlemen, is this. Where do they get authority for vaccine passports in the first place? See, right. You don't need a prohibition on something they don't even have authority to enact in the first place. The problem is, as you can see from the bill above about this males and female sports stuff, these lawmakers are absolutely rocked off their gourd crazy. I mean, they literally think they're God on steroids. I mean, they literally think they can just make males into females. They literally think they can just lock everybody down, and have vaccine passports and mandates everywhere just to live your life and freely travel. They really think this in the Republic. They're getting a whole lot like Canada, where tyranny just becomes the order of the day. And you know what? A few short years ago, we thought we weren't even close to this kind of stuff. A few short years later, wow, look how close we really are. Senator Rand Paul condemning Mr. Trudeau. What is he, the prime minister, whatever it is, Canada? What do they call that guy?
Yeah, Justin Trudeau, the prime minister, yep.
Yeah, there you go, prime minister. I don't know what he's a minister of. He doesn't seem very religious to me, but there you go. That's what Kurt likes to kind of articulate. Quick pause, when we get back, we'll drill into this, though. Good for Rand Paul for speaking out against tyranny everywhere. But, man, it's as bad as in Canada, in America nowadays, isn't it? Hang tight. Lowell Nelson, campaignforliberty.org.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
You USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
Sunday night, the White House confirmed President Biden has agreed in principle to hold a summit with Russian leader Vladimir Putin, provided Russia does not invade Ukraine. French President Emmanuel Macron has invited Vladimir Putin and Biden to attend a summit at de-escalating the Ukraine crisis. Details will be ironed out on Thursday. Ottawa police have cleared out the remaining Freedom Convoy demonstrators on Sunday, ending a 24-day occupation of the city's protest. A total of 191 protesters were arrested and 57 vehicles were towed since Friday. The protests lasted 24 days. Many have called Prime Minister Justin Trudeau's actions fascist. Every third Monday in February is designated as President's Day, a federal holiday originally established in 1885 and is generally seen as a day to celebrate all presidents. USA Radio News.
Fever is a potential sign of COVID or the flu, and the Exergen Temporal Scanner Thermometer has been proven accurate with more than 100 clinical studies. Be vigilant and seek medical advice at the first sign of fever. Be accurate with Exergen. Exergen Temporal Scanners, available at Walmart and other fine retailers. Learn more at Exergen.com. That's EXERGEN.com. Exergen is changing the way the world takes temperature.
Got a party of 10 coming in. We need to flip those two tables.
Leah's restaurant is fully booked night after night.
Section 3 is still behind.
She no longer has reservations about finally finding a hostess.
Why doesn't 23 have menus? Oh, those are in my hand.
Indeed can help her hire great people fast.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. Instant Match instantly connects you with quality candidates whose resumes on Indeed match your sponsored job description. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get $75 towards your first sponsored job. Terms and conditions apply.
FEMA, the Federal Emergency Management Agency, has denied Florida residents assistance after tornadoes impacted the area. Republican Governor Ron DeSantis pushes back.
Stuff's a lot more expensive than it was just a year or two ago. So we understand the challenges that folks are facing. As soon as the tornadoes hit, Florida Department of Emergency Management had deployed disaster staff, recovery staff, into the impacted counties. They conducted a damage assessment with county officials, with FEMA, and with the U.S. Small Business Administration. I then declared a state of emergency, and the main reason for that was to be able to unlock our request to the Biden administration for individual assistance. And we requested all programs under individual assistance to provide relief for the impacted communities. Unfortunately, that request was denied.
84% of the impacted population received Social Security income. USA Radio News.
I want to dedicate this song to Mr. Rupert Murdoch.
Back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Lowell Nelson, campaignforliberty.org, riding shotgun on the broadcast today. So Rand Paul literally condemns Justin Trudeau, Prime Minister of Canada, in an interview. He's right to do so. Justin's out of control, man, pushing tyranny everywhere, literally acting like the king has been violated. They're starting to do that in America, too, Lowell. I'm having a hard time deciding which country's more free at this point.
Yeah, we certainly do have an elected king, you know, in our own country. It's been that way for decades, by the way. It's not just new with Biden. We've had this elected king for many decades in this country. It's the wrong direction. And the only way we're going to stop that is if the people of the states exert their sovereignty and, you know, erect the barriers against this encroachment by the federal authority, by the central general government. So that's something that we need to take seriously. But meanwhile, in Canada, I've really enjoyed the Rebel News organization providing updates on stuff going on in Canada. You know, the convoy, the Freedom Convoy, the truckers that crossed the country. And really, that kicked off a number of good things around the world. I think convoy kicked up in Australia and in the UK and also here in the States. So very interesting development. I just enjoyed last night just reading. I just got, you know, here I was trying to prepare some notes for our show today, but I just took a digression and just read all of the Rebel News articles for the past week and picked out a few which I thought were noteworthy. Did you know, Sam, about a popular radio host named Kid Carson? he's been very popular in the mainstream. He has been broadcasting on the mainstream news area in Vancouver, British Columbia, for several years, I guess. Very popular. His name is Kid, like, you know, a goat kid, Kid Carson. He spoke out against COVID about 6 months ago, and then he said that there was a chilling effect around him at work. You know, people kind of didn't talk to him as much anymore. And then just recently, after speaking the truth about the Freedom Convoy, they did not renew his contract. That happened just last week. And Carson is now out in the cold, and he's starting his own podcast. He has received thousands of messages of support after speaking out publicly. He said in an interview, he said, "Why is the news not telling us the truth? We see truckers setting up bouncy castles for kids, feeding the homeless and dancing, and being Canadian, but the news is calling it violent." So they took a 5-second clip of this man saying, "I'm terrified," and they put that on the news. But I think he was just really saying, "I am terrified of running out of food for these people." But they twisted it, making it seem like he was terrified to be there in Ottawa. End of quote. So that's what Kid Carson was talking about. And, you know, we see that mainstream news does that all over the country. They do that routinely, Sam. They take things out of context, they twist it, and portray their own spin on it. Well, Kid started his own podcast called The Kid Carson Show last week. And I watched the first episode of it last night. It's only 5 minutes long, but I think he'll do okay. I hope he does, Sam.
Well, it's a lot of good work. It's a lot of good work, nevertheless. There's a lot of effort being put into making a serious, serious difference. And I'm really grateful. The people are starting to take action. They're doing podcasts. They're speaking out. They're writing their legislative bodies. They're writing news articles. They're, more and more people are really getting engaged in meaningful ways, Lowell.
That's right. One of the fun other digressions last night, I watched a school board meeting of a woman, a parent, a mom, standing up to the school board and calling them out on their flip-flopping policies about COVID and masking. And excuse me. And then one of the board members got upset about what the parent was talking about, and she actually left the room in a huff, saying, you should feel like, I mean, how would it feel if you were up here in my seat? And the parent, the mom said, "Yeah, we're coming after your seat, all of them." So this is happening all over the country, Sam. You know, parents are getting upset. They're taking the wheel, so to speak. And they're going to unseat a ton of school board members. We're going to unseat a ton of legislators. So just very helpful. You know, people are waking up. Mike Lindell, the MyPillow guy, he had a big semi full of 10,000 pillows. He was on his way to the Ottawa event just last week, and he got turned back. He couldn't even cross the border. Why? Well, because he wasn't fully vaccinated, did not have a negative PCR test in his hand. And so he couldn't even cross the border with all these pillows to hand out in Ottawa. So that's news from the Mike Lindell front. And then last Friday, Rebel News showed us the border protest in British Columbia. It began as what they called a slow roll near the Pacific Highway. There's a whole bunch of truckers and so forth. They're just going to drive by the Pacific Highway. They weren't going to block anything. But the police, who wanted to stop the slow roll, they ended up blocking the highway because of their efforts to thwart the slow roll. And so one of the slow roll organizers, who wants to remain anonymous, said the intention of the slow roll convoy was to serve as a warning to British Columbia government that it's not just the truckers in Ottawa who are calling for an end to the COVID-19 mandate. So after hundreds of truckers and other vehicles were barred from doing the slow roll, well, protesters started walking. They just walked the lanes of the highway, and in addition to the Royal Canadian Mounted Police officers who were doing the same thing, it's sort of like the police were stopping the protesters who were trying to walk the highway. They just ended up blocking the whole thing. And so as much as the officers wanted to not block, well, it all got blocked up. So yeah, there's activity happening in British Columbia as well as in Ontario. They also reported, Sam, on the arrest of Ottawa rally leaders Chris Barber and Tamara Litch. They also reported on the police-led assault The Rebel News journalist Alexa Lavoie. A cop struck, and I watched the video on this, Sam. A cop struck her three times with his baton and then shot a tear gas canister at her leg point blank, seriously bruising her leg. And she's in a lot of pain and will be in a lot of pain for a few days just because of that. Why did the cop do that? Well, because she was filming the cops who were pushing the protesters back. It turns out police in Ottawa have established a perimeter centered around where the Freedom Convoy was, you know, Parliament there, their capital, their nation's capital. And they were broadening that perimeter, pushing protesters back out of that secured area. Police were not allowing they are allowing mainstream media inside the perimeter, but they won't allow Rebel News reporters inside that perimeter. So finally, we get down to the point here of this segment, Sam. Senator Rand Paul, he recently appeared on a podcast, and he hammered Justin Trudeau's crackdown on the peaceful convoy protesters in Ottawa. Not only was he critical of the powers recently invoked by Trudeau, those emergency powers, but of those similar powers still on the books in the United States. And I think we here in Utah were surprised that we too have statutes, which I don't believe comport with the Constitution, by the way, but these statutes give sweeping powers to our governor, to state health department, and to county health department. Well, the legislature is unwinding some of these. It did so last year and is also doing a little bit of that this year, thankfully, throttling back some of that executive power. But Rand Paul said, I think statutes that allow presidents or heads of state to invoke emergencies are very, very dangerous. I tweeted out this morning that Canada has now become Egypt. Right? The emergency edict that Trudeau has done in Canada allows him to do some horrendous things, allows him to stop travel, allows him to detain people without trial. We don't know that he's going to do that, but it is very, very worrisome that he might. End of quote. So that's news from, and one other news bit related to this, Sam, I might mention. New Mexico Republican Congresswoman Yvette Harrell is promising to introduce legislation to offer asylum to Canadian protesters. She tweeted this, just as we provide asylum for political prisoners, we should do the same for truckers who have been subjected to violence, had their property confiscated and their bank accounts frozen by a government that is quickly becoming the embarrassment of the free world. I am introducing legislation that would temporarily grant asylum to innocent Canadian protesters who are being persecuted by their own government. We cannot be silent as our neighbors to the north are treated so badly. End of quote. So,
couldn't
anyway,
agree
lots
more,
of
but
news
you got to put items. You got to put the term "free world" in quotes. I guess a little lull. The free world.
Yes, we do, Sam.
Wow, ladies and gentlemen, Senator Rand Paul, though, also said that I think statutes that allow presidents or heads of state to invoke emergencies are very, very dangerous. Amen to that reality on both sides of the border, Lowell.
Yes, absolutely, Sam. He recognizes. I mean, we're how different is Justin Trudeau's Canada now from, say, Egypt, right? And so
America.
Basically he has the power. Yeah. He has the power now that Egypt's dictator has. It's pretty
scary. All right,
scary.
Ladies and gentlemen, an unjust law is no law at all. An incredible article coming up in seconds. Ryan McMakin on your radio.
The spirit of the American West is live and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues affecting the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas like the 2021 Real Buckaroo Calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
Decades after Jimmy Carter, Joe Biden picked up where he left off. With America surrendering to terrorists, Biden's foolish spending is causing inflation, which means more pain at the pump, higher prices on groceries, devaluing your retirement savings when you need it most. Once was a mistake. Twice is a disaster. America needs strong leaders, not weak ones.
Save America JFC is responsible for the content of this advertising.
The spirit of the American West is alive and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues of the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas, like this year's Buckaroo calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
I think that my family has always had a big influence on me for not smoking because since I was little, I was taught that smoking was wrong.
Recent studies indicate that smoking among teens often leads to the use of alcohol and other drugs.
I think having faith in God is a big part in it because the way I was raised has helped to avoid smoking.
Smoking. If you think you're old enough to start, you're smart enough to stop. A public service message from this station and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. We are reminded in the age of COVID, an unjust law is no law at all. Ryan McMakin with the article we're going to talk about in a second, but I just want to say, look, we've got to stop claiming everything is a national or everything is an emergency because then they play games with emergency powers. Ladies and gentlemen, we need the Constitution every day, but we need the Constitution more in an emergency. The checks and balances, chaining down bureaucrats, chaining down elected officials, chaining down appointed officials in an age of an emergency is more critical than ever. And that's the time where they set it aside thinking, oh, we'll get back to the Constitution when we have time or when it's more prudent or whatever. Look, the Constitution is designed for emergency situations more than day-to-day living, in fact. So we got to understand when Senator Rand Paul condemns Trudeau in an interview, he needs to also condemn the United States because here's the deal. We're about to crank up our own truckers convoy. Well, will we get cracked down on harder and more than Canada did? If you look at January 6th as the pretext, you kind of go, wow, it ain't going to go too well. But literally understand, ladies and gentlemen, in the age of COVID, we're reminded an unjust law is no law at all, lol.
Absolutely right, Sam. The mainstream media is calling the Freedom Convoy an illegal protest. They call it a siege, an occupation, an insurrection. Exactly what they did on January 6th, that rally in Washington, D.C., they've called that an insurrection. Well, why do they do that? Why does the mainstream frame these rallies in this way? Well, it's a political slur. They want to paint people as lawbreakers. Why? Because it casts suspicion on them, portrays them as harmful, morally illegitimate, right? Well, the regimes of the world, of course, they like to use legality as a standard for judging human behavior because those regimes make the laws. But let's remind ourselves that legal does not always mean lawful or moral. In fact, historically, legal is usually unlawful and immoral. Slavery, for example, has been legal through much of human history. Temporary slavery, known as military conscription, is still employed by many regimes. And look back in the 1940s, the U.S. Supreme Court ruled that the imprisonment of peaceful American citizens of Japanese descent was perfectly legal under the U.S. regime during World War II. Well, thankfully, writes Ryan McMakin here at this article posted at ronpaulinstitute.org, he says in the United States, the value of lawbreaking is baked in to our psyche, basically. The American Revolution was fundamentally a series of illegal acts. The Declaration of Independence was little more than the declaration of a thoroughly illegal rebellion. And in response, King George III sent men to the colonies to enforce law and order. The American response to this attempt to enforce the law was to kill the government's enforcers. Less violent acts committed by American rebels were equally criminal, ranging from the Boston Tea Party to a multitude of assaults on tax collectors committed by the Sons of Liberty. So the bottom line, Sam, is to question the morality of what is promulgated as the law. I mean, that's the duty we have as citizens, is to challenge or to question the morality of what's put forth as legal. The regime in power will always try to outlaw things they don't like, and then they will marginalize independent thinkers like you and me, Sam, by calling us lawbreakers. Well, we see this in spades around us every day, Sam, and, you know, calling the occupation in, or calling the rally in Ottawa an insurrection is doing this very thing. They're trying to marginalize those who are actually standing up for liberty and for freedom. Sam?
And instead of the media being a vanguard for liberty, instead of the media calling a spade and digging in and getting both sides of the story and talking about the who, what, when, where, why reality of a story and siding on the side of liberty, the mainstream media literally is calling the freedom protests or the convoy or whatever you want to call it, the peaceful assemblage, if you will, they're calling it an illegal protest. They also call it a siege, an occupation, and an insurrection. You got to ask the question, why, lol? That's not what they called Antifa and Black Lives Matter and everybody else's protests that went violent, that went to the destruction of private property, that literally took over and sieged a whole city in the United States of America. Now, they didn't call those things, or they didn't call those protests terms like that. They just said the peaceful protest, the whatever. They didn't even use the words riots. But literally now the Freedom Convoy is being attacked like nobody's business. The media in bed with the government for the narrative, lol.
Yeah, exactly right. They called those things peaceful protests in Seattle, for example, with the cars and buildings behind them burning, you know, like that's really peaceful. You know, you got your property on fire and they call it a peaceful protest. It's ludicrous.
Well, the American people are seeing the truth, though. The mainstream press literally, in my opinion, melting down with a credibility crisis like we've never seen before. It's on display for the whole nation and all free-thinking Americans to see and realize and understand. But while the mainstream press literally doubling down and backing violence and the destruction of private property as they back the unconstitutionality and the wrong-headed Black Lives Matter and Antifa and other protests, and while they then attack freedom, meaning peaceful assemblies, ladies and gentlemen, Ron Paul quotes George Orwell, truth is treason in an empire of lies. That not only applies to the Trudeau situation, but it applies to the unjust wars that Biden is trying to launch us into, ladies and gentlemen. Ron Paul with a column. And Mike Whitney with a column, both on the same idea. And here's what I think is happening. Joe knows that everything he's doing is a failure. And that's being even exposed by the media to some degree now. He wants to bait and switch on us, doesn't he?
He sure does, Sam. But there's an ulterior motive in his doing so. We'll get to that in a moment. But the Biden administration has been warning us since October, Sam, for the past 5 months, that Russia is about to attack Ukraine. We've been hearing that for 5 months. Well, you know, last week, the U.S. evacuated its embassy in Kiev for fear of a Russian invasion. We also heard that Russia evacuated its embassy in Kiev for fear of a U.S.-backed provocation in eastern Ukraine that might lead to a Russian military response. Well, Biden and Putin had a phone call 2 Saturdays ago, but that didn't solve anything, really. If anything, it provided cover for the Biden administration to claim that they had tried to avert a war diplomatically. But Ron Paul believes this whole thing is a farce. In a nutshell, he believes Biden says to Putin, don't invade Ukraine. Well, then Putin says to Biden, we have no intention of invading Ukraine. And then Biden tells the U.S. media that Putin is about to invade Ukraine. That's the narrative, right? And so what the U.S. media will not report is that this entire crisis, the threat of a serious war, has all been brought about by U.S. interference in the internal affairs of Ukraine, specifically the U.S.-backed coup that overthrew an elected government in 2014. Every bit of unrest in Ukraine proceeded from that single foolish and immoral act by the Obama administration. So Ron then extols the virtue of a non-interventionist foreign policy as he finishes out his column, something he has advocated for several decades. And then we come to this article by Mike Whitney, posted at ronpaulinstitute.org, that suggests the crisis in Ukraine is not about Ukraine, but about Germany. What? Well, in particular, it's about a pipeline that goes from Russia to Germany. This pipeline is called Nord Stream 2. Now, Washington sees the pipeline as a threat to its primacy in Europe and has tried to sabotage the project at every turn. Even so, Nord Stream has pushed ahead and is now fully operational and ready to go. Once the German regulators provide the final certification, gas deliveries will begin. German homeowners and businesses will have a reliable source of clean and inexpensive energy, while Russia will see a significant boost to their gas revenues. It's a win-win situation for both countries, but not for the U.S. dollar, Sam, and that's the kicker. The U.S. dollar, the petrodollar, we've talked about that on past shows. In order to sustain the petrodollar, then we need all oil purchases and gas purchases to be done, to be denominated in dollars. Well, if we get this gas pipeline going between Russia and Germany, Germany isn't going to need to use dollars to denominate its purchases of gas from Russia. It's just going to have a steady flow of gas, and then Germany is just going to pay Russia. It may or may not be in dollars. And so U.S. foreign policy establishment is not happy. They don't want Germany to depend on Russia gas because commerce builds trust, and trust leads to the expansion of trade. As relations will grow warmer, then more trade barriers are lifted, regulations are eased, travel and tourism increase, and a new security architecture evolves. Sounds good to me, right? However,
well, they're free to do that. Now, understand, why would they transact in U.S. dollars when both countries have their own currencies? So it doesn't make any sense that they would transact in U.S. dollars, ladies and gentlemen. Right. But we want to force that to be the case, Lowell.
That's right, because of the OPEC agreement from the 1970s, where all the countries that were members of OPEC agreed to denominate their gas, their oil, in dollars. Now that it's become untenable, people are wanting out of that agreement, and they want to denominate their oil in something other than dollars. That's why Saddam Hussein got taken out. That's why Libya's dictator got taken out. They have threatened to denominate their oil in something other than the petrodollar. That's what's happening here, folks, and that is why this thing in Ukraine is going on. They want to create the perception, Washington, D.C. wants to create the perception that Russia poses a security threat to Europe. That is the goal. That's why this media drumbeat that's been going on since October is happening. They want to show Putin as a bloodthirsty aggressor with a hair-trigger temper who cannot be trusted. To that end, the media has given their assignment of reiterating over and over again, Russia is planning to invade Ukraine.
But the truth lies in the middle somewhere, though. I don't think that that Russia's leaders or China's leaders are great people by any means. Okay,
right.
But I also don't think that Russia's going to invade Ukraine anytime soon unless we force the issue. These countries want to have self-determination, and a lot of them are bad actors. I don't think that Putin's a great guy. He's a strong man, and he has his own agenda for sure. He does not believe in liberty like I do. At the same time, he's not the evil villain that's going to just destroy everybody around him in seconds like they want you to believe. The truth lies in the middle, Lowell.
That's right, Sam. And what is left unsaid is that Russia has not invaded any country since the dissolution of Soviet Union in 1989. The U.S. has invaded and toppled regimes in more than 50 countries in the same period of time. And so that's what's not reported by the media. So I agree, Sam. Let's not delude ourselves into thinking that Putin's a great guy. He's the evil, too, just like all the politicians in the U.S.
The hegemonous actions of the United States, ladies and gentlemen, will have tremendous blowback. Look out, because it's coming. For Lowell Nelson, CampaignForLiberty.org, and Sam Bushman, God save the Republic.